My mum's influence on me wasn't restricted to the five things I've mentioned so far in this series. My mum has been a very religious person ever since the middle of the 1950s. And I grew up in a house in which her religious belief was evidenced by statues. There's a particularly memorable statue inside the front hall of the house, but there were holy water fonts in every room. So physically, the house in which I grew up had a lot of ways in which you were reminded of the Roman Catholic religious beliefs, the heroes, the saints, the Virgin Mary in particular. And it's Paul O'Mahony, O'Mahony blog on the internet here, and I'm going to try to give some expression to the way in which this influenced me. My mother, in addition to the statues and the other religious symbols that were visually evident, led us to say the rosary every day of my youth. So every day of my youth, we knelt down in the drawing room, as we called it, in the living room, which other people would have called it. We knelt down in the drawing room to say a decade of the rosary. I can't remember, to be exact, whether it was just one decade of the rosary. I think it was the Our Father, 10 Hail Marys. I think it was the whole of one of the mysteries, either the joyful, the sorrowful, or the glorious mysteries. And we did that every day. So I have a lot of memories. But this series of audio aren't about memories. They're about the enduring influence of my mother on me. And the fact that my mother was interested in and committed to a big epistemology, a big ontology, a big worldview in which religion was an essential core element, I think had an influence on me in that I grew up interested and more than interested in the religion, and I was very committed to the religious way of thinking for a long time. But when I stopped being committed to a religious way of thinking, I kept on being interested in big, grand questions. I was attracted, and still am to this day, attracted by systems of belief. And I continue to have an interest in the Bible, interest in the New Testament, interest in the important books of other religions as well. But I went from being interested in and committed to Roman Catholic worldview to an atheistic worldview and dialectical materialism, and was interested and committed to that too while I was at university and later. So I'm trying to express in some way something that isn't coming easy to me, but I suppose it is that I'm crediting my mother for me being interested in big questions, big fundamental questions. And like, what is it to be human? What does it mean to be human? What distinguishes a human approach from an abstract approach? What distinguishes humans from animals? How does evolution work? I'm somebody who can spend with ease quite a long time thinking or being meditative, being reflective, and keeping it to a certain extent to myself. I've learned to tolerate other people's belief systems without engaging in, you know, just putting up with them. I think I take that from my mother and her habit of tolerance and her habit of being interested in the big questions. Now, I'm not doing justice to this influence, but I know that I can't kind of walk past this aspect of her life. The best example of the influence of my mother on me in connection with religion was, I think, has been the extraordinary satisfaction I have got from taking her to Lourdes, going with her to Lourdes, I think 3 consecutive years in recent times. And a whole series of audios that I made while in Lourdes, in which I did my best to talk about my own spirituality, my own sense of prayer, my own sense of what I may have made myself out of what I would regard now as some very psychologically sound help that is available through religion. A book by Alain de Botton, Religion for Atheists, and I've read pieces of it at times, has felt to me like a great effort to explain to atheists how religion works. And that kind of a book, well, that book, because I don't suppose it is one of a kind, but that book appeals to me very much. So this, of all the influences of my mother on me that I've spoken about so far, feels the most difficult to put into words, because when I went to Lourdes, I found it easiest to say that what characterizes me is that I'm an unbeliever. But I'm a sort of big unbeliever, in the sense that everything my mother says to me and has said to me for quite a long time about prayer and about coming back to religion, I have been inclined to respond by saying, every step I take in the world is a prayer. Every connection I make with other people is an act of spiritual connectivity. And I can't put my finger on how I have been influenced by my mother, but my mother has continuously, she has never tried to persuade me to return to a religious faith. She has simply prayed for me, and I've known that she's prayed for me. And she has, every now and again, she hints about her belief that I'll return to believing in a God. And when she mentions God to me, I'm inclined to say, you know, I see God in every person. I see every person as a example of creation, creativity. And in some way, some weird way that I can't put into words, I feel that being a comprehensive unbeliever is a spiritual stance in which I take responsibility for my own spirituality, and I see it as part of a bigger spirituality. Now, I don't go as far as Carl Jung in thinking about collective unconsciousness, and I don't go fully as far as the Buddhist concepts, but I take them all. I love them all. I love the effort that humans make to make sense of the experience of living and to make sense of the experience of mystery. And the obvious, if you look up at a dark, dark sky and you see a shaft of light coming through it, it's very easy to believe or to experience that as if the heavens were talking to you. So I guess I have something or other of the religious world that my mother provided me with as a child has prepared me for the love of big questions and the love of thoughts about purpose. And also, I suppose, what comes to me now is the phrase, we know not the day nor the hour. In other words, you need to be ready all the time for meeting your maker, for your reckoning. I find that very helpful because it makes you conscious of how have you lived your life? How are you living your life? And it's a very meaningful question to ask, you know, are you living your life as well as you could be living your life? And it's much more those kind of questions than the fear that was inherent in Roman Catholic thinking when I was growing up. Sin and the notion of original sin and the notion of, you know, life is made up of sins. Although when my mother does mention in any way something to me, I say, look, I'm a sinner. I sin every day. I every day I don't realize my own potential as fully as I could. And all I can really do is do my very best to do better the next moment that I'm faced with some kind of a dilemma or big issue in life. So there we are. That's an effort, and I do feel tongue-tied and unclear about what I really mean, but there is something there. And I have to credit my mother for it. And in a sense, it my current stance is that if it helps people to have a religious belief, good for them. Yes, that's it. Good for them. And so thank you very much for listening. Thank you to my mother. Thank you to Bernie Goldbach for sharing the last days of his mother's life with us. And thank you all very much for listening.